Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Well, thank you, Dan Hurst. He is the voice.
He's the voice
of Revitalize and Replant. Dan is available to MC your wedding or or any of your family gatherings. I'd be glad to come out and do that.
Seriously.
He'll even be a disc jockey at your wedding. He'll spin the hits. He'll even have some twin spins. He'll play some Bobby Gentry and some Bobby Goldsboro.
Whatever you want.
That's right.
Whatever you want.
I mean, you realize
most guys have no clue who those people are.
I know. Wipe Out by the Surfers, you know. whatever.
There it is.
Are we here to do something today?
We're here to do something.
This is a podcast, and Dan just introduced us, and we're talking today, part two, on Chuck Lawless's reasons, ways that you can improve your preaching. And guys, there isn't any of us out there who are preaching who don't have room for improvement. And we all need to get better every time we get in the pulpit because it is absolutely important work that we do in preaching God's word. So we're going to pick right up today four more ways you can improve your preaching. And if you didn't listen to the last episode, let me run these down for you real quick and then go back and listen to them. Assume you need to improve. Consider when was the last time you intentionally improved your approach. Read the Bible, pray every day, and forsake sin in your life. And the fourth one we looked at, spend time with your congregation. So go back and check that one out. Maybe listen to it again. And then today, Mark, what's the first thing we're going to look at?
Yep, the first thing, I love this. And the truth is, this probably should have been number one, but it's enlist a prayer team. The importance of prayer and having others pray for you. Let me share a story real quick. So Spurgeon, we love Spurgeon.
Yep.
And, you know, he oftentimes there would be groups of pastors who would go over to London to visit him, especially in the when his church was just, you know, it was just blowing up. It was crazy. And so they want to come see what the secret is. What is going on here? Because we want to see this happen in our churches in the States. And the story goes that there was a particular Sunday where this group of pastors were over there visiting Spurgeon. And it was a Sunday morning. And he started walking through the church building there, the tabernacle, took them down into a room, which was the boiler room. Now, a lot of people, maybe if you know Spurgeon history, you know this. And there in the boiler room were, I can't remember the number, let's say 100 individuals on their knees praying, and they would pray all morning. And Spurgeon looked at the men and said, "Man, that's the secret right there."
Yep.
It's not in me. It's not my lead.
Right.
It's the prayers of God's people calling out to the Lord to move in power. I've never forgotten that because it's true. That's the engine. Prayer is the engine. And so this is why we're saying, listen, do you have a prayer team or at least some individuals who can be praying for your preaching? And we don't ever want to just assume that people are praying for that, right?
No.
What would you say? Like, what have you found? Why is prayer so important?
Well, I think that's the important thing is you don't assume they are. People say, "Pastor, we're sure praying for you today." Don't assume they have. They mean well when they say that, but don't assume that they've really interceded and pleaded for the Lord to really work and bless you. Again, many people will come and say, "We're praying for you, preacher." And that just sort of is a way of saying, "Attaboy, we're behind you." You know,
it's an encouragement.
We're not against you.
That's right.
We're not praying against you.
Yeah.
We got that going for you. So I think what Chuck is saying here, Chuck Lawless, is just don't assume that people are praying for you, even if they say, be intentional about finding some folks. And man, this can be especially some older ladies.
That's right.
Yep. I mean, some of the most powerfully prayer leading warriors you'll ever find are widows.
That's right.
Find some, and some older men too, but find some folks and just enlist them and say, "I need you to pray for me. And here's my sermons for the next 4 weeks.
Mm.
Will you pray for these texts and pray that God will do this in these sermons and pray that God, and give them some specific ways to pray for you, to have time to study, to have clarity of your thought, to communicate with power and give them some things to pray for.
Yes.
And then say, "Would you mind, you know, even letting me know that you prayed and how you experienced in that prayer?" And man, they'll come up to you and say, "Pastor, I've been praying for you every day this week and God really spoke to me and said," that's what you need.
That's right.
What we mean by intentional prayer.
Yeah, we're not just, you know, check it off the box. I mean, this is where sadly, forgive us, Lord, when we forget the power of prayer. We need God to show up, man. Yeah. We need him to show up in power. We need the Spirit to move. We need to see people saved, brought from death to life. We need to see the saved grow. And only the Lord can do that. So, you know, this might be one of those areas, just honestly, when you look at your whole preaching ministry, I bet you there's a lot of us that go, wow, I need to be more intentional with this.
And they don't have to be in your church even.
That's right.
I mean, you can find some folks from your family, from an extended family, from some other people you've known in your life, across the world, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But intentionally enlist some folks to pray specifically if you're preaching. If you can find some folks in your church who'll do what Spurgeon's church did, yeah. I've had that on occasion. I've had some guys say, we're going to go downstairs and we're going to be praying while you preach. Man, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it is.
I've also had some churches that have done some round-the-clock prayer kinds of yep. things for their pastor and that kind of thing.
So. And even if you have somebody, so I think of Sweet Eva Mock. She was with us when I came here in 2009. And I am not kidding. This is not an exaggeration. I mean, I could count on one hand how many Sundays she missed in the 5 or 6 years she was alive with us. And every Sunday, she would take me, we would get together, and she would pray over me.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what, it was the most humbling thing in the world. And she was praying all week. But there might be folks that just get together, get in a little circle right before the service, go into the office, whatever, and just pray and seek the Lord. There are folks that would love to be part of something like that.
You know, you don't want to do stuff to be a show or to be, like I said, just sort of a presentation. But I was at a small rural church last Sunday in Louisiana preaching, and came time for the offering. And I noticed that the pastor stayed down at the front while the offering was being taken, which is never really, you know, whatever. But when the ushers came back from taking the offering, they came up and surrounded the pastor and put their arms on him, mm-hmm. and they prayed for him.
Wow.
Now, I was preaching that Sunday. They should have prayed for me. Yeah. But I think that was just something they did every Sunday.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that's a good visual.
Wow,
plus,
it
it's powerful.
It is.
And it speaks. And I thought it was really sweet that those ushers would come before the pastor preached. After they took their offering, they came back and laid their hands
that's
on him.
That's sweet, man.
Prayed over him. I thought it was really great. So, yeah, absolutely. Enlist a prayer team. Number two. Study preaching and teaching. We talked a little bit about this last week, but unpack it just a little bit more of how we're always need to be learning about preaching.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, again, we're so blessed in this day and age to have access to so much. And here we're talking particularly books, resources, blog posts, that have been written by really gifted preachers, gifted scholars. There's so much to learn. And I think this is at the heart of growing as a preacher, is being a learner. Like, to never believe, you know, think you've arrived. And that's what we're going to keep coming back to, is assume you need to improve. And this is where studying preachers and teachers, and not just contemporary preachers and teachers.
Oh, absolutely right.
But quite frankly, you need to read the great preachers from the past throughout the history of the church.
Absolutely right. And, you know, we live in a day, like you say now, where you can listen to, think about that. It's so bizarre to think about. Because we were just so used to it.
Yeah.
But let's say you were a young pastor in 1925.
Mm.
You would never have, or 1950 even, 1970 even.
Yeah.
You didn't have the internet. And today, I could go online and I can listen to every sermon Martin Lloyd-Jones ever preached in his church.
Nuts, which is crazy.
Sunday morning and Sunday night.
That's right.
They recorded all of them and they're on free on the internet, Martin Lloyd-Jones Trust. Every sermon Martin Lloyd-Jones preached.
Unbelievable.
I mean, you talk about logic on fire, man.
Yeah.
Guy could bring it, right?
Yeah.
And that's just one place.
Yes.
And then you can listen to everybody else online.
Yep.
And some of the greatest preachers we've ever had alive and recently passed, but you can still listen to them. Then you can go online and you can read Richard Baxter.
Yep.
You can read these great Puritans. You don't have to even buy the books anymore. So many of them are free
out
there online.
Yeah.
None of that was available 40, 50 years ago.
It's crazy.
So we've got so many resources.
Yep.
And sometimes, Mark, I think we have so many, we kind of overwhelmed. We just don't look at any.
Yeah, I know. That's true. Well, and when I think about this one, study, preaching, and teaching, we're going to get to the next one is, well, we'll wait a second. But part of what I have in mind here too is study how they prepared their preaching. Study, how did they outline, like get inside the head of guys like Lloyd-Jones and other great preachers, and even to preachers today. Because as a preacher, I think when we talk about improving, and that's what this whole podcast is about,
right.
you're going to improve. They may have a very unique delivery, and there's things you can learn from that, and that's great. But learn from what's going on behind the scenes. I mean, like, if you listen to a guy like Alistair Begg, first of all, I'm never going to have a cool Scottish accent like Alistair Begg. He just sounds smarter than everybody. It's just cool to listen to.
It is so cool.
But here's the thing. I can remember reading an article a while back, and he's written a really great book on preaching for the glory of God, I think is what it's called, where you get inside his head about how he prepares his sermons. And you see the best preachers, man, they don't just like show up and start talking. I mean, you know, I mean, they have worked hard. They have prayed up themselves. They've studied the text. They've outlined, they've manuscripted the text. So I would encourage you this, don't just listen to the great preachers, see how they've prepared their preaching.
And be willing to take some online classes on preaching.
There you go.
I mean, you may have graduated from seminary, or you may not have even been to seminary.
Yep.
Maybe you haven't even graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. There's all kinds of online classes you can take. All of our seminaries, all six of them, have some online preaching classes you can take. There's all kinds of ways you can improve. Take a class, man. Learn how to do some of that stuff. Improve your skills in that regard. There's so much out there, especially online. Used to be, you'd have to drive to a seminary campus. You have to go to class. You don't do that anymore. You can take an online course from any number of great seminaries or great schools or great institutions. Introductions to church, introduction to preaching, all kinds of ways to structure your sermon. You'll learn all kinds of things. So study preaching and teaching and never quit studying it.
And there's great podcasts. I mean, our buddy H.B. Charles has one on preaching. I mean, they're just gold, man. It's just gold and gold and gold. So what we need to be careful of is not to get lazy.
Oh, yeah.
We have no excuse, quite frankly. And it's not that you got to listen to everything, but find something. Find something where you can be learning.
You're absolutely right. We have no excuse. When you're talking about H.B. Charles podcast, you're talking about all the online courses, talking about so much stuff you can read online every day.
Yep.
There's no excuse for a pastor not spending a certain amount of time every week saying, I am working study to improve my preaching.
To improve my preaching.
I want to carve out an hour or two or at least a week to become a better preacher.
I love it, man.
If you're not why wouldn't you be doing that?
Well, dude, and it's a joy. Are you kidding? We get to preach the word of God. I hope we always want to be growing.
If you play golf, I don't care if you're 16 or 86.
Yeah.
Don't you want to swing better?
Don't you
want to putt better?
That's right.
I mean, if you bow hunt, don't you want to know how to hunt better?
Yep.
I mean, don't we want to improve on the things we love to do?
Amen.
Of course we do.
That's exactly
right. I collect telephone insulators.
I know. I've never met another human that does.
I want to become better at collecting telephone insulators.
It's quite a gift.
It is quite a gift. And we have our own little club, and we look at the different colors of them and where they came from. And
tell real quick, just for fun, what's the name of the club again? What's this club?
It's called the Drip Points.
The Drip Points. Don't you have a magazine or something?
We have a magazine called Drip Points. Because at the bottom of those telephone insulators, those glass insulators you set up on telephone poles, they had little pointy things, and that's where the water would run down and drip off so it wouldn't short out the telephone lines. And drip points. And so I was at a big telephone insulator show not long ago, and it was a national show, and we were all looking at each other's telephone insulators. I bought some and sold some. It was so exciting.
Just geeking out.
I
just
came
loving
home
this
and
stuff.
I got my that month's copy of Drip Points. I opened up to the centerfold, and my picture was in there. I was not just all by myself, but I was at the. It had a picture of the national.
And you were there.
And I was there.
Well, I mean, there were only three people probably there.
Maybe so.
So you had
but
a good
I,
shot.
I got but... myself in Drip Points. I have no idea where this. Oh,
you need
because,
to frame it.
Because I want to, I read the Drip Point magazine.
Right, right.
I go online and look about what different kind of insulators people have found and discovered and what they mean. I want to improve my knowledge on insulators.
Listen, guys, you're getting it all here.
You
I mean,
are.
There's not another podcast, unless there's a Drip Points podcast.
There's probably a Drip Points podcast.
I mean, who knows?
Check it out. All right, anyway.
Okay, let's go to the next one, number three.
Let's please move on.
Yeah, which is...
listen. We already talked about it a little bit, but listen to other preachers.
Listen to other preachers.
Please,
listen to other preachers.
Please, please.
Again, I've said this before. I think I said this in the last podcast, but
it's
worth saying again.
Say it again.
That, you know what? If you listen to one preacher...
Yes.
If you just listen to one preacher,
yes.
And some guys do. They become obsessed with one guy, and it's like, man, he's got it all figured out. All you're going to do really is become a bad kind of impressionist of that, a bad mimic of that one guy. I mean, you're going to learn stuff, but it's, you know, if you only listen to two guys, you're going to get confused because you're going to have two different personalities. And but if you listen to a variety of preachers, and I think this is so important, a variety of preachers, you're going to find your own voice. And I think that's so important. This is where Mark Dever, he has said in the past, and I mentioned this last time, the best way really to improve your preaching is by listening to a number of just really gifted preachers.
And when you listen to preachers, I want you to listen to two things particularly, guys. All right, focus on this. I want you to listen to a variety of biblically sound, theologically sound preachers. I want you to listen to how they begin their sermons and how they end their sermons. Learn from that. I mean, really good biblical preachers have a really good way of beginning, introducing their sermons, introducing the content, and concluding their sermons. So listen to that and learn from that. You can always learn from those things. And also learn from them the value of stories and illustrations and the importance of not leaning too much into those.
Yeah, that's right. That's
right. There's this balance.
Yeah.
When I was at Warren Allen, I was doing preaching every Sunday. I really knew I needed improvement, even though I'd been preaching for 25 years. So I did what Dever did. I asked the elders at Warnell to autopsy my preaching every single week.
Yep.
And they got pretty good at it, actually, which is okay. But I remember one time one of them said to me, Mark, this morning, because they do it on Sunday night a lot of times. So this morning, I noticed you felt like you were losing the attention of the congregation, and you immediately sort of leaned into a long story to try to get them back.
Mm,
he said, you should have just trusted the text to get them there.
Wow, yeah.
And he was right. I did. I felt like this wasn't going anywhere, so I kind of spun a long illustrative tale that kind of got them their attention, but it got it away from the text.
Well, and that's another thing I want to add, that's such a good point. As you're listening to preachers, listen to preachers who handle the text well.
Yes.
That explain it. I mean, at the heart of good biblical text-driven expository preaching is you are explaining the text. This is the teaching aspect of preaching that's so important. And don't just rush past it to get to the story you want to tell.
Exactly.
You want to explain the text, and then don't skip the application of the text.
Right.
Which answers the question, so what?
Right.
That's really interesting.
Right.
You know, if all you are listening to lectures of, you know, you're in the text, you know the text, but you're not asking the so what, you want to find preachers and you want to be the kind of preacher that brings it down. What my seminary homiletics prof said is bring it down the abstraction ladder. You got to bring it down to where people are actually living.
You know, I want to give you some suggestions of guys to listen to, and you can throw some in there if you want to. But I think Chuck Swindoll is really good to listen to as far as just being a great, and he's getting old now, but he's still good, a great communicator.
Oh, man, he's a great communicator.
Talk about introduction of sermon and conclusion
of
sermon.
And he's an expositor.
He's an expository too, but expositor. But listen to Chuck Swindoll. Also, we mentioned Martin Lloyd-Jones just for the intellectualism and the really the power that comes through that. Sometimes he starts really slow.
Yep.
And you got to listen to the whole sermon.
The word of God.
It takes him a little while. He's not real super.
Yeah.
He's not a lot of fun, you know. But man, when he brings it,
he's unbelievable.
He brings it.
Oh, man.
And then Alistair Begg.
Alistair Begg.
So who else?
I mean, I would say, again, guys, I love listening to H.B. Charles.
Oh, yeah.
I love listening to a guy named Stephen Lawson because he's a really good expositor, again, and I want to keep growing on that. I think Tim Keller, you know, all of his sermons now are free.
Yep.
And Keller's unique, and I would put alongside him John Piper for me.
Sure.
I love listening to Piper. But those guys are really unique.
Yeah,
and that's
very
the thing.
Unique.
Their minds just work differently.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I like about Keller is I love the way he's very gospel-centered, and he does a really good job, I think, of applying the gospel, the good news in particular, to people's lives. What I love about Piper is his passion for God and his God-centeredness.
Yeah.
So those would be guys, again, this is why we listen to multiple different types of preachers.
Absolutely.
And those are big name guys. Here's the honest truth. Some of the best preachers in the world are guys you're never going to know.
I know.
And you've never even heard of. And so find guys that you resonate with who they are and their love for the Bible. And I'm telling you, man, you're going to get nuggets of gold.
Yeah. But take some time and listen to some other preachers, and remember again how they introduce the sermon, how they conclude it, how they use illustrations and applications. Man, take time to learn.
Here's the fourth one, and yep. I'm going to throw it your way, and we'll close with this: is invite others to help you prepare, and that can take a lot of different forms, right? Like we've talked about asking others to pray for you, but to help you prepare. Now, again, I'm just interested when you were talking about at Warnell, how you had guys. How was that? What did that look like?
Yeah,
how
there were times at Warnell that I would have guys. I would share my outline, share what I'm going to preach. And I would say, hey, what do you think? Am I missing this? Is it work? I had an older man at Warnell that came for quite a while. He was retired. He'd been a Bible study teacher. He had a lot of time on his hands. And I said, you know what? Would you meet with me once a week at lunch and just go over my sermon? And he was like, why? And I said, I just want to hear. He was so amazed that a pastor would want him to take a look at this. I valued him as a Bible teacher and a layman, and he gave me some real insight that was very helpful. And so I really do think, you know, I don't have permission to tell who he is or I would, but there's a pastor that I deeply respect that is one of the best preachers I've ever heard. And I know people say that kind of stuff all the time, but I'm telling you, he's one of the best expositors of the word I've ever heard. Every time he brings the word, it is powerful. And he's young. He's under 40, or he was when I first started listening to him. And he pastors a very large church of several thousand people. And so I was with his executive pastor one time, and I said, you know, I just got to tell you, I said, every time he preaches, I am just overwhelmed with the gospel, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Where does that come from? What's his? He said he works really hard on his sermons. This is what he told me. Are you ready for this? He said he works all week, and then on Thursday, he brings the entire staff into the chapel, and it's a large staff, probably 30, 40 pastors on his staff. And he said he basically goes through the whole sermon, and then he asks us to give all the feedback we can. He takes our feedback and applies it into the sermon. It's a collaborative effort.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. That's incredible.
I mean, there's this whole collaborative effort where you don't think I'm the guy, right? It's got to be me to say, I here's what I think, but I need to hear what's God saying to you about this. So lean into your deacons, lean into some men in your church, lean into some other pastors in your community, and do some collaborative work on preaching.
I love that. You know, it's funny because I think there's some guys who almost feel guilty about that. Like, aren't I supposed to do it? And I'd say, listen, man, if you're a collaborative, we all learn in different ways. If you're a collaborative, get others around you, get the whiteboard out, man, dream together. What I mean, at the end of the day, you're writing that thing, but it doesn't have to all fall on you. So I think that's a great one. So let's just review these
very quickly. Yeah, run them back. The last four we looked at, how to improve your preaching. Here we go.
Okay, so for today, enlist a prayer team, study preaching and teaching, listen to other preachers, and then the fourth one we just talked about was invite others to help you prepare. And so next time, we got four more.
We got four more. And by the way, Dan's looking here. I told you Dan would be willing to do your wedding or your reception or be a DJ. And I mentioned he even play Wipeout. I said by the Surfers.
Oh, okay.
And everybody listening knows
that was
not
bugging
right.
you the whole
that
time,
was.
Wasn't
it's
it?
It's by the Safaris.
Oh, the Safaris.
Wipeout by the Safaris, which you can't do better than Wipeout by the Safaris. So if you want Dan to come and be at your big event, your senior adult banquet or whatever, he'll come.
He's got the voice. He's the voice.
You can go Google Wipeout by the Safaris, and it doesn't get any better than that. Are we done?
We're done.
Dan, if you can take us home, take us home.
Try.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.